Look in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. The Bible says in verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. There's a statement and a question there. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. If you don't believe that, ask them. Are you good? They say, oh, I'm good. Are you bad? No, I'm not bad. I'm good. Especially around Christmas time. Well, I've been real good all year.
Yeah.
I figured out in grammar school that stuff wasn't real by the way them kids acted, what they got for Christmas. I thought, oh, something don't add up here. 2 and 2 is 5 here for some reason. But most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But notice the question. But a faithful man who can find? I'm going to answer that question tonight, and I'm going to start with another question before we get to that question. Do you know why a faithful man has never been found? Because he's never been lost.
Amen. That's good.
And I'm going to talk to you tonight about faithful and a faithful man. All you ladies, you hunted Mr. Right. You need Mr. Faithful.
That's good.
You need Mr. Faithful.
Yeah.
Men, you think you want Miss Hourglass, but you're going to get Miss 2 Liter, and you need to make sure that you get Miss Faithful.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
That's how this works out in the end.
Yes, sir.
If I didn't have anything, listen, my pastor died knowing I was faithful to him. There's a missionary called me one time. He said he started talking with his little spiel about missions. And then he said this, but I'm not like Brother Corey. And I said, hold on. I said, what was your name again? He told me, I said, I'm going to hang up and call him right now and tell him what you just said. He said, he'll cut my support. I said, you a hireling anyway.
Yeah. That's right.
Going to talk about the pastor and then turn around and say something like that.
Amen.
God will shut you down for that stuff.
Yes, he will.
That's crazy. Why would you want to say that about your pastor? Mm-hmm. Especially a faithful pastor.
Yeah.
Man was there 32 years, gave his life for the work and put work in his life through it. And here somebody said, well, I just don't agree with everything that goes on down here. And I don't care if he agrees with it or not. It really don't bother me at all. If I agreed with everything I went, everywhere I went, I'd know I was around a bunch of comedians all the time, and it'd really make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
We had one of them in the church one time, and I thought it was a lizard till I found one day he was a brown lizard, and one day he is a blue lizard, and one day he is a green lizard. I thought I had three, but I finally figured out what he was. He is blending in everywhere he got.
Yeah.
One day he wound up dead, and he looked like a rainbow, man. He had all the colors laid out there. Poor guy. I miss that guy, too. He's my most faithful guy I had for years. But as we look tonight at faithful, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you tonight, God, for letting us be here and be alive. And Lord, thank you for the pastor of this church and his precious family. Lord, thank you for what they mean to our hearts and to this church and this community. I pray, God, you'll continue to use them and this church as a lighthouse in this place. God, that the gospel be preached from this pulpit constantly, Lord, for sinners to be saved. I pray, God, for the sheep to be fed here, Lord God, that they'd come in hungry and leave full. And, Lord, we pray tonight, God, for the message, God, that we pray for our understanding tonight according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray, God, that you'll teach us your book, that you'll help us apply it to our lives and feed our souls with it. And God, I pray you'd help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Help me to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
As we look tonight at the word faithful, the only one who's ever really been faithful is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to show you 4 ways he was faithful, and it's a way for us to pattern ourselves after him. Number one, he was faithful in his living. If you'll take your Bibles, turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. He was faithful in his living. This one statement about Jesus over in Hebrews chapter 4 will change your outlook and your view on him, because this is something that every man will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. As we look at Hebrews chapter 4, it says down there in verse 15, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Those same points are the same thing the devil hammers on you with. He tempts the president of the United States different than your janitor down at the public school. Same three things, though. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He hadn't changed. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. His motto's been, because he's been doing that same thing since the Garden of Eden, once all the time.
Right.
You say, you won't get me one of them three. He already got you one. It's pride.
Yep.
One minute you stand up and say, I got this thing. The devil ain't going to get me. He's already got you with pride right
there.
Come on,
brother. That's right.
He's built a singular foundation. Now he's going to build a fort where your brain is and start taking things over. You got to be wary of this stuff and realize what it is. It is sin. Confess it to the Lord. Get it right with God. Get the blood of Jesus on it and quit hanging on to it.
Yeah.
Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are. You go back to Matthew chapter 4 and Luke 4. He tempted him three ways. Same three ways he tempted Adam. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. The Bible said that's all that's in this world. Those same temptations. But don't you notice the next statement about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15. He was tempted like as we are. But yet, he says, without sin.
Amen.
He was faithful in his living. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, so he wasn't born of sin, born into sin like we were. That's why he had to be born that particular way. Isaiah chapter 7 in the Old Testament, the Hebrew prophet said this. He said that that a virgin was going to conceive and his name was going to be Emmanuel. He didn't say a young woman. Mm-hmm. He said a virgin was going to conceive.
Right.
Do you think that's confusing now that we've heard about the story? You ought to have been back there 2,000 years before that when they said, all right, there's a virgin going to conceive. I wonder if the local high schools, that's all down there saying, is it going to be me?
Yeah.
Because you think it's wicked now, it's wicked back then too.
Yes, sir.
Jesus came in the fullness of time, not in the halfness of time.
Yeah.
And sin was rampant on every corner. There was as much sin and drugs and alcohol and all this other stuff and pervertedness in that day as there is in this day.
Yeah.
And I noticed something here. He's faithful in his living. He was yet without sin. There's several reasons why he was without sin. Number one is this. He is God manifest in the flesh. That's what this Bible says about him in 1 Timothy chapter 3. That Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Him being God, he could not sin. I think if I remember correctly, that's the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what that means, but boy, it sounds good, don't it?
Yeah.
Listen, he didn't have it in him to sin. He did not live perfect and become God. He was God when he came here, robed himself in human flesh, and then lived like God while he was here.
Mm-hmm.
There's something he kept doing to the doctors, lawyers, Pharisees, and Sadducees, and scribes. And this is something that really got under their nerves. Every time they'd think a bad thought about him while he was doing it, he'd turn around and tell them what they were thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how he done that? He's also, listen to this, he's the all-knowing God. Just
Amen.
Like, listen, he knew what was going on. He knew what they were thinking. And I sat here the other day and I thought, you know, how many people would really say some of the things they say on the telephone if they thought somebody was listening?
Oh, my.
Now, listen, we're such a trusting society now. We've completely cut the cord.
Yeah.
And we got these cool cell phones, and we say, well, that's all right. We're doing, might I remind you that the devil's the prince and power of the air?
Yes, amen.
Wouldn't it be funny if, like, your pastor was looking on the radio one day for something and dialed you straight in? You said, that can't happen. Wait for it. And he dialed you straight in, and there's you talking about him and the deacons of this church and the Sunday school teachers.
Mm.
You're having preacher hash with Deacon Stew with a Sunday school on the side.
Oh, my.
Then you come pulling up in here, brother, God bless you. Good to see you. He's been listening to you the whole time. How do you think he feels?
Come on, brother. Come on.
Let me run one else by you. How do you think God feels?
Yeah. That's back to the main thing.
He said, I don't talk about my preacher. I'm glad. I don't like you if you like to talk about the preacher. Don't talk about him. There's two things for sure. I don't like it and I won't listen to it.
Yeah.
Okay? But listen to this. I know that sometimes we get out of line with ourselves and we say things. We got to remember. Listen. That thing about, can you hear me now? God said, I heard every word.
Yeah. Oh my.
See, if people ever thought about that, he was reading all the thoughts, reading all the minds, and listening to all the conversations, things would be a lot different in how people maintain holiness amongst themselves.
Yeah.
You know what Jesus never had to worry about? A conversation. He is faithful in his living. Every word went by heaven before it came out of his mouth. Hey, some of you, bless God Almighty, you speak when you don't think before you speak. You know what you need to do? You need to shut up.
Yeah.
You need to start releasing words by heaven first and saying, Holy Ghost, take care of this. Can I say that? You say, they'll think I'm off. You already are. You off with God. That's the problem.
You helpless now. Come
you
on,
need to
brother.
Dial in and be right with God, not let the world worry about it and just go on with that thing and run every word by heaven because you never know who you might be talking to. But listen to this. You never realized who was listening. So, but it was a private conversation. Did I say God was listening?
Yeah, you did.
There's nothing hid from him.
Right.
Nothing. He's faithful in his living. He was yet without sin. Do you know what they did? But listen, do you know what happened when Jesus rolled into town and they had all that wickedness and all them crack pipes and all that meth and all that other stuff, the drugs of his day, whatever they called it, I don't know, all that wine, all that liquor, all them the nudity bars and everything. You know what he did when he came into town? Preached against it and didn't go down there at night when the lights got low. Listen, I've heard about so many unfaithful Christians and hypocrite Christians. I don't want to hear about them. Why don't you tell me about the good ones?
Yeah.
Tell me about the ones that live a faithful life. I was down in Georgia, Brother Waters, and he had a funeral at this church. And we went in there, and boy, they said, anybody in the family got anything to say about this dear sister? And I didn't know none of them people. I thought, I hope they don't try to bury her right here in this church, because, boy, that'll get rough real quick. I've been there before. They had to call the police and everything.
Yeah.
State law, wasn't lying. I mean, it's got the police in there. Funeral director looked at me and said, what are we going to do? I said, we ain't going to do nothing. You're going to call the police.
Yes, sir.
This is back before cell phones, too. I was pastoring before cell phones. I know what I'm talking about. Anyway, we got in there, and they started standing one by one saying, well, she led me to Christ.
Oh, my. What a blessing.
She led me to Christ. Her husband got up and said, that's the most faithfulest woman I ever seen to the house.
Amen.
Said, we prayed over even crackers. And I thought, man. Her kids got up there and said, we can't hardly talk because we're missing Mama already. But thank God for Mama and Mama's faithfulness.
Amen.
So what happened to her? She just got saved is all.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened to her? He that is yet without sin, that died for her sins and became sin for her that knew no sin, that she might be made the righteousness of God in him, one day took up residence in her heart upon her saying, Lord, save me. And he started living his life through her. And every time he thought she was good, it wasn't her, it was him.
Yes, amen.
Ain't that something? Every good thing about you, you try to take credit for, but it ain't you, it's him every time.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Every good thought you have and every good deed you do is prompted by somebody who come one day because he had time to quit running the universe that day and just come deal with you.
Yeah.
Ain't that something? He's faithful in his living. You give me a church full of 10,000, or you give me a church full of 10 that's faithful, I'll take the 10 faithful.
Yeah.
Every time.
That's the truth, brother.
Listen to this. I am sick to death of this mob mentality people's got that we got to have a church full. If it ain't growing, God ain't out. Listen, I live in a town where the next big thing's done came through five times.
Yeah.
And 4 to 5 times it ran off with a woman.
Yeah, come on now, come on.
They wore out carpets at north side, south side, east side, and west side going to the next big thing, and every time something bad happened. You know what happened? They didn't observe Psalm 118, verse 8. It's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in man.
Yes, amen.
So how do you know something's wrong like that? When women tell me, do you know how cute my preacher is? And they're not talking about him, I know there's something wrong. If somebody comes along and starts that business, run them off from here.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Heather will kill him.
Yeah.
You better hope she don't hear it. But I'll tell you who they were later. I don't want to say it publicly. Does it? But he's faithful in his living. Every time you see something good happen in your life, it's because he made it happen. When you see something bad in your life, he made that happen too. You know why? He's faithful to you. And he knows sometimes you get out of line with him, and sometimes only trouble will get you back.
Mm-hmm.
You ever wonder why you have to wind up in the emergency room? It's because he loves you.
Come on.
And he's faithful. You ever wonder why your relatives got to die and the good people the good people die and the bad people live on? Because God loves you.
It's true.
He's faithful in his living. Do you know people die while he is around? Of course, they didn't stay dead when he is around.
Mm-hmm.
That's how when these people like him, people on Channel 16 come up to me, I just saw Jesus. Honey, if you'd have saw Jesus, you'd have took him to the graveyard and got your relatives back.
Yeah.
He ain't here right now. He isn't the person of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside your heart, but physically he's in heaven right now. But physically, while he is here on earth, when death came along, he run death off.
Yes, sir.
Ain't that something?
Amen.
Well, listen, without having to be asked. My favorite story in the Bible is this one. He had to put everybody out because they was laughing at him, what he said he was going to do. He was only going to raise that girl from the dead. I said, yeah, that's right. He said, out, out, out. Hey, wasn't nobody laughing when she come walking out the door with him.
Yeah.
They wasn't nobody laughing at Lazarus' tomb. That's why he brought him back. They wasn't laughing that day. They brought the hearse in front of him. He reached out there and touched that thing. That person got up.
Yeah.
No laughing then. Why? Because they knew somebody was faithful and they knew who he was.
Yes.
He was faithful in his living. You know what they couldn't accuse him of? Sin. They'd try to say he said things. They had to lie on him in a fake trial,
yeah.
But they had no evidence. He was without sin. He is faithful in his living. And don't you look over at Luke chapter 2. This is for all you children. You adults, I've picked on you long enough. I'm going to pick on your children for just a minute.
Amen.
That guy back there said he's killing me. Thank God in heaven for this. Amen, brother. Listen. Luke chapter 2. If you'll look down at verse 52, this is Jesus as a child now. He's faithful in his learning. It says about him, now this is a paradoxical statement here if I've ever seen one. Watch this. He that's all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, it says of him, Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So what did he do? He took that virgin-born body he had and grew up, and he did those things right there.
Amen.
So how did he that know everything increase? He had good grades on his report card, that's how. That was all outward stuff for man. That wasn't for God. He always was there. When they looked at him and said he grew in favor with God and man, that's something they saw. And they ought to see that in every young person here that's in school.
Amen.
They ought to see that, listen, that you're increasing, not just growing up this way, but growing up this way.
Yeah.
Well, how do I do that? Do your work.
Amen.
Listen to your teachers. Turn in your homework. Do it on time. That's right.
Doing good, brother. I like it. Good preaching.
Don't fool around at school. Don't make a monkey out of yourself at school. Be a good student and listen, live for Jesus while you're there. Whether you go to a Christian school, a home school,
yes,
a public school,
right.
Or a school of hard knocks, whichever one you belong to, make sure you live for Jesus at all in places.
That's good, brother.
Increase in stature. Grow up. Grow up.
Yeah.
I know some of your children, you like to play. I like to play too. I never did grow up in certain areas of my life. I understand. But I also understand this. There's got to be a time when you get serious because one day you are going to have to get
a
job.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible.
It is.
Whole book of J-O-B. You look and see if I ain't right. And one day, grandma, mama, daddy, or whoever's keeping you up, God's going to take them to heaven.
Yeah, tell that a while. Come on.
And you're going to have to pay the bills.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. See, I was fortunate. I was born to poor people. I didn't have to worry about it. As soon as I was 17, I had to start worrying about it. So I'm 48 now. I'm good. I figured the thing out. Okay? But I want to tell you something. You need to start growing in stature and growing in wisdom as well. Grow up.
Yeah.
Grow up. Be a big children. Amen. Listen, how about that? Look at this. He was faithful in his learning. He increased in stature, wisdom, and it says in favor with God and man. Now, let me ask you something. He's our example, right? How do you increase in favor with God? Everybody's telling us, well, you can't get no more closer to God than you can after you saved. I believe they're wrong about that.
Yeah.
Listen to this. You can increase in your favor with God by living for him, but it won't be something that be pointed out by others. It'll only be something between you and God.
Yeah, that's good.
You'll be the only one that knows whether it's true. I've seen some of the best fakers and magicians in church I've ever seen in my life. You say magicians? That's right. They can make things disappear, including themselves. You'll never know where they went.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the best actors. I wanted to give out 5 Emmys to people I've met here over the course of the last 2 years. Fakers, man. Fakers.
Yeah.
The only thing they're good at is being a phony.
Come on now. That's a good one. I like it.
I talked to people they work with. I said, yeah, them people lay around, coffee in one hand, cigarette in the other. The boss comes around. All of a sudden, they got a wrench in one hand and a drill in the other one, working on 3 different things. They said, it's a good thing the boss don't stand there for 8 hours, or they'd never make it.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Am I touching out to the screen? If you are, put your hand on the screen. And I'm going to heal you of this problem tonight. Listen to this. He is faithful in his learning because he increased in favor with God. Here's this one. And man.
Yeah.
Remember that thing about opening your mouth and let stuff fly out? Don't do that. Don't do that. Bite your tongue. Shut up. That's the Greek words for that. But try your best. Try your best to be as kind to everyone you can. Because today might be the last day they have on planet Earth. Yours may be the last face they see, and how you treat them may be the last thing they remember before they pass over, going to heaven or hell.
That's a fact, brother.
You say, well, that don't affect me. Oh, it does.
Mm.
That lady he mentioned that passed away, we were as good as her as we could be. Loved her to death. Always have. Very good person. But I find it hard to look at a social media app where they're posting pictures of her dead body in a car and saying, this person blank shouldn't have done this. There's something wrong with that.
Yes, sir.
If I would have been there, the last thing on my mind would have been taking a picture of something like
that. Come on, brother.
But I'm going to tell you something. I don't see posting it nowhere for her family to see before that coroner could get in touch with her family. You imagine some of y'all looking up on your Facebook and see your daughter, her car hit by another car and pieces all out and road and everything, and they say, wow, it was her fault. And then that coroner pull up.
Yeah.
Increased in favor with God and man. If anybody's got anything bad to say about your preacher, here's what they ought to say. I hate that he preaches the Bible. I hate that he preaches too loud or don't preach loud enough. I hate him because he's always thumping about that Bible and Jesus and all that. That's what they should say bad about him. They shouldn't say he stiffed me down at the mortgage company.
Yeah.
He wouldn't pay his bill down at the gas station. He wouldn't.
Come on.
Say, what was that telling me? That tells me this. If you don't pay your bills, you are a liar. I don't care how saved you say you are. Paul said, lie not one to another, talking to a church full of saved people. See, Christians can commit almost any sin that a lost man can, especially that lying, when we've actually got good at that in the 21st century.
Oh my.
But Jesus increased in what? His learning. He dealt with people so they couldn't say bad things about him without having to lie. They ought to say to you, listen, you know what I heard the other day? This is a good one here. Fella asked me point blank. He said, that preacher down in Packlet, you know the one I'm talking about? I said, yeah. He said, is he on that church? I said, who told you that? Well, I don't remember. I said, I didn't figure you would. They never can.
Yeah.
But since the guy's a good fella, I gave him a break. I said, really, somebody told you that? He said, everybody says that down there. I said, that reminds me of Cowpens, which is right beside Packlet, if y'all know where that's at down in South Carolina. I said, Jimmy Robbins owned everything up there. Who said that? Oh, everybody did. You know why they did? Because he was the only one that took that church when nobody wanted it and then started growing and doing well, put a $2 million Christian school gym out there when nobody said he could. And they said, he's in it for money, but he hardly took a salary because he already had money when he came there. Ah, joke's on them.
Yeah.
I'd hate to have been talking about that guy for 40 years over there and have to die and face God with that.
Yes, sir.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
God said, why'd you say that about my preacher like that? Well, everybody's saying it, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody ain't going to be there to count with it when you do. Jesus increased in what? wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Look at this. He is faithful. He is faithful in his learning. Now that you kids are not going to speak to me after church, let's go to Psalm 23. I want to listen. It's getting quiet like a funeral. Let's go to Psalm 23 right quickly. Psalm 23. Our Lord is faithful in his learning, but he's faithful in his leading. And I want to show you this thing here. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. You see that? He leadeth me beside the still waters. So I got a lot of drama in my life. Get it out. Follow the Savior. Get rid of all that.
Yeah.
By the way, you know what they call them things that's drama? Drama queens. They should, sir, they should never call you or me a drama queen. Or any kind of queen. How about that?
Yeah.
We should never be called that. Mm-hmm. And we should never act like that either.
Good.
He said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. I like that. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads you in the right way.
Right.
You can't go shack up and say God put you with him. That's what he's saying right there.
Come on now.
Okay. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that? Well, he is leading in verse 3. He is leading in verse 2. He's the Lord in verse 1. But he said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's faithful in his leading. I've heard people over the years accuse God of everything but being God. God told me.
Yeah.
I don't believe a word of that stuff.
Amen.
You can come out to service tonight and say, God told you anything. If it ain't in this book, I don't believe it.
Amen.
Because you make stuff up.
Yeah.
Y'all heard about that preacher right down the road here, didn't you? His church is on the side of the hill. And he said, God told me to jump out the window the first Sunday he was there. So he run over and flipped that window, saw it 30 foot drop, and said, God meant that window right over there.
You know? Yeah.
That's your God told me crowd right there.
That's a fact.
So what's that preacher's name? I wouldn't give him free advertisement for love or money. But I see he's faithful in his leading. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. But then he leads me through this valley of the shadow of death. How many of y'all like being there? That's an awful place to be.
Yeah, it is.
Remember having to go to my grandpa's house after he died and pick out his clothes to be buried in. They're sitting there at the funeral home and said, we can't do it. Will you go do it? I was the only one that would. I did find out something about Pawpaw, though. I opened his t-shirt drawer and it was all folded and rolled and everything was in place. I've never seen a man's underwear to lean. I hadn't. We didn't look at Pawpaw's underwear. I don't know what y'all did, but we didn't do that stuff. But everything had a place. Everything was folded or rolled or something like that. All of his shirts, t-shirts, pants, everything. Like he didn't have to think about it. He already had it done. When he'd wake up every morning, everything was already there. I was like, man, that's impressive. I rolled my t-shirts for about 2 weeks, wasn't it, honey? 2 weeks after that? Well, it didn't pass down, I mean. But I look at all that stuff, and I remember walking through the Valley of Shadow Death that week, and I went back up to that funeral home and ran into this guy I seen at the homeless shelter. That girl we was talking about a while ago, the one that, she died. She was 32 years old. There was her husband there. I said, what are you doing here? He said, my wife died. I said, well, how could that be? And he told me what happened. And I thought, man, we're in the Valley of Shadow Death up here.
Yeah.
Never forget that. And before we got out the door, here come the pastor from that church right up the road from me. I said, what you into? He said, I'm having to meet a family up here. And he told me, and I knew the people he's talking about. I said, man, it's something else. And it never quits.
No, it don't.
And when he leads through the Valley of the Shadow Death, I know why we're there. You know why we're there? So we can see how he's the light of the world.
Amen.
In the darkest places.
Yes, sir.
Because the darkest places bring out the best light.
Amen.
I've noticed that when God said for us to be lights of the world, he didn't plug us all in these chandeliers, did he? He plugged some of us into a little nightlight that's going to be put on the back side of a trailer park on the back side of nowhere. It's going to help somebody not bump their toes.
Yeah, come on, brother. Yeah.
We don't all get to be chandeliers.
Amen.
But thank God we all get to be lights, and all of them burn with the same brightness.
Yes, amen.
I'm glad, thank God, that I look back over the lives of people I've heard about and studied about. Do you know that Percy Ray's church wasn't no bigger than this?
Is that right?
How about that? They don't ever tell that in the sword of the Lord, do they? They don't say that. They don't tell that in Today's Christian Magazine or whatever. What's that name of that thing down there in Greenville? Today's Christian Preacher or something like that? All I keep hearing out of that crowd is how not to get in pornography. Okay? If you have a problem with it, don't look at it. Cut it off. Hey, just be done with it. Don't worry about it. God's greater than all that stuff. He still is. He's faithful in his leading, because in his leading, he'll take you right through all that. Do you know that... There was a time I went through a dark period in my life for about 3 years. And it started off on two Wednesday nights right before I go to preach. First Wednesday night, I got a phone call that destroyed my life. And if that wasn't bad enough, the next Wednesday, I got another phone call. And it was as equally as devastating. And I thought, who has my number that knows I'm preaching at 7 o'clock on Wednesday that calls me at 6:30 every week? And don't tell me the devil's got it. I put it on one gospel tracks. The devil's got my number.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I hate him. That's the only way you can hate and still be right with God, by the way. Because he'll never be saved. He's already fallen. He's never going to come out of that.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, why now? We was enjoying the best time of life at church and the ministry itself and everything. And I'd have to get up and preach knowing I had all that stuff weighing on me. But I kept thinking about one thing. Why does God want me here right now? And then finally I came to this conclusion. I'm going to give this to you to help you. He's faithful.
Yes.
A faithful man who can find. Well, he ain't never been lost. So when you think you get lost out in something, just remember the shepherd will come get you.
Amen.
So how do you know it's him? How do you not know it's him?
Yeah.
Listen, when he's faithful and he's leading through that valley of the shadow of death, that's when you learn to love and trust him and know more about him than you do at any other time.
Amen.
He is faithful. Watch this. He's also faithful, and this being Valentine's Day, I wanted to run this one to you. John chapter 18. He's faithful in his living. He proved that in his life. He's faithful in his learning. John chapter 18, he's faithful in his leading. But as we look over John chapter 18, I want you to look down at verse number 9. John chapter 18, verse 9. He's also faithful in his loving. So how do you know? Watch this. Verse 9. He says that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. So what's that? True love. True love. Do you know that when you got saved, he still hadn't lost you? True love. Do you know many things I've lost in my life? We've lost children. We've lost church members. We've lost friends. And every once in a while, we'll lose enemies. Thank God.
Yeah.
And I mean, they become our friends. Not that God kills them and smites them hip and thigh, but that was the prayer before God got a hold of us. I understand. Lord, smite him hip and thigh, you know, that type of thing. But he's so faithful in his love, and he said, all them that got, the Lord give me, all them got saved, I ain't lost none of them. That let me know something. I'm not keeping me. Now, I don't know how that revolutionizes your way of thinking about God, the Bible, and the whole thing. But everything is on him, not on me.
Yes, amen.
So what happens when you get in sin? He straightens me out.
Chastise, amen, brother.
Amen.
I get smoked hip and thigh.
Yep.
Amen. I don't like it. I've learned. Listen, there was this little picture I saw the other day of an outlet. And it had a like it shot, the black stuff got over where the thing had blowed up like. And somebody had put a sign over it, pencil sharpener. And I thought, some dummy had to come along and try to stick their stupid pencil in that thing. How do you not know that's an outlet if you live in this country? I mean, we tell people this stuff, right? Do you know that to this day, that every time I smell or taste butter, I think about as a little child burning my hand, then putting butter on it. So how many times does that happen? Once. Do you know when you plug something in and it's like the normal, was it 110, 120? It's got two things and the ground thing. You know that big one that's got the two big ones and the other one under it? That's 220, 240 them. Do you know how far my hand goes back when I plug something like that in now? So why'd that happen? Because it grabbed hold of me one day and it wouldn't let go. I saw my life flash before my eyes. I was 14 years old and saw it all. And I got a little white piece on my skin right here, right there, still to this day. And now I plug them up kind of like this. I try to throw it in there almost. I'm very careful with it. Just took one time. I learned. But I want to tell you something else too. I've learned something about Jesus. And when I read the scriptures, I look for what he says and what he shows us. I look for his types and things about him. But out of all of them that God gave him, he ain't lost none of them. I can remember failing him. I remember walking out of church and throwing the keys in and locking the door behind me and saying, I'll never come back. Locksmith, can you let me in there? And the locksmith would say this. He said, preacher, listen. He said, did you do that again? I said, not again. He said, well, everybody else done it. It's about time you done it too. What happens to people is this. They get so discouraged by sin and the weight of sin and the destruction of sin, you finally want to quit. And you know what he does? He's the unquitter. I don't know if that's English or not, but y'all get it, right? He's faithful. And he's faithful in his love. Because when I walked out on him, he didn't walk out on me. He walked out with me. Amen. I can remember times that I've had to counsel with people. And they say, I wish my husband or my wife would just be faithful to me. And I thought about all the times I sinned against Jesus. And how he was always still faithful to me. And I said, you know something? He's faithful in his loving. Because only the love of God would be able to do that for somebody. If you're here tonight and you're married, I want to tell you something. Like I said, our glass or Coke bottle, all you want is somebody to be faithful and love you. But you know what? Jesus never had that prerequisite for you. He took you as you were.
Amen.
Y'all have heard that song, Just As I Am, right? He took you like you were. When I got saved, I was in a god-awful mess. So was you going to church? I didn't even like church people. I thought they were all fakes and phonies, all hypocrites, and I thought they was all going to hell, but I didn't believe in hell either, because I didn't think I was going. But yet every time we had a funeral, every time I went to a wedding, they preached on hell. Imagine that. Imagine sitting at a wedding and they're preaching on hell, and you're marrying somebody. I always felt sorry for the people. Every time I went to a wedding, I thought they're going to get preached on hell, and they would. A good close friend of mine died one time. And it's the first time I'd ever been to a funeral where they had more than one preacher, you know. And I thought, well, we're going to get one sermon on hell. We had three that day. And I remember that guy standing up saying this. He said, I don't know why God wants me to preach on this today. And he got up, turned to Luke 16 and preached on hell. The guy behind him preached on Mark 9, 44, 46, and 48. He preached on hell. The last guy got up, preached out of Revelation 21 about all liars shall have their part. And I was like, man, there's no way. But see, in that funeral, I didn't know none of them guys. But I thought to myself, this is getting to be quite an odd coincidence over and over and over and over and over. And every time it happened, all I could think about is, somebody don't want me to go to hell.
Yeah.
You know what happened when I got saved? I ain't going to hell no more.
Amen.
You know why? Somebody loved me.
Yes, sir.
He was so faithful that he looked past all that sin and all that mouth and all that thought, them bad thoughts I had about people, and said, you know what? I'll save you anyway.
Amen.
Because all them things that you did, that's what I died for.
That's good, brother. Amen.
And I thought about that, and I saw that in the Word of God. The man showed me all that, how he died for all them sins. And I was like, man, somebody does love me.
Yes.
Hey, does anybody love you tonight?
Yes.
It's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, Jesus, because we know we didn't get you no candy, but you deserve more candy than we can ever give out to our spouse.
Yes.
Lord, we didn't get you a card for your birthday, and we didn't get you on Valentine's Day, but you are the best present and the best lover we've ever had.
Yes, amen.
Because nobody loves us like you.
Right.
He's faithful in his loving. You know what happens? Let me talk to them a minute, okay?
Wait, brother.
You know what happens to most married couples? We're not praying, we're preaching. Get up here, look up here, look right here.
Amen.
They love each other to death, you know. Well, I can't spend a minute without him. Oh, my life's not complete without her. Then they get married.
Oh, God.
Okay, listen to this. You ever going to pick up behind yourself? You ever going to cook and clean? You ever going to cut the grass? You ever going to vacuum the floors? And they live like pigs. And they start fussing at each other for not doing the jobs they're supposed to do. But neither one of them's doing anything. And then they hate each other. I can't live without her. She come with a bunch of faults. You should have known that before you got her married. He's terrible, man. They all are. If you don't believe me, any gray-haired woman in this room will tell you all men are alike. We're awful. We say awful things. We do awful things. We don't know how to... I mean, we're awful people. The curse of God is definitely on man, okay? But that was like that before, though. Okay? And when you get down to the brass tacks of this thing and you look at somebody loving somebody, there's your example right there. I have lost none. Say, you was pretty rough before you got saved. I've been pretty rough since I've been saved.
Yeah.
Only thing is, I've gotten too old to do some things, so I just do them in my mind now.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
But God knows about it. Deals with it, and he loves me anyway.
Yes.
He doesn't hold my salvation out like a carrot, like you do a mule. He don't do that. Or like the guy with the dollar and the intro. Oh, you almost got it that time. You know, he don't do that, do you? But he does do this. All I got to do is have his word speak to me, and I know what's going on. They don't preach on hell when I show up no more. I do. Usually. But boy, if I ever get somebody lying, I could slip in a church, in a Methodist church where nobody knows me, and I mean that preacher will nail me down just like that. Now, I don't hardly go to Methodist church. When I do, and I'm not right with God, and I go in one, that's what happens. He'll even say something like this. I don't know why God's got me preaching on this today. And I'm like, I know why.
Yeah.
When he gets done, I tell him exactly why. Show up at a revival meeting, nobody knows you there, the preacher don't know you, you get in there and the guy says, God just told me to preach on this right here. And he starts reading your life story, the last 15 minutes of it anyway. And it's like, Lord have mercy. Then it dawns on me, he's faithful and he's loving.
Yes.
What did we say to start with? We said that many men will proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. We can't find him because he's never been lost. But he'll sure find you. See, he comes looking. He's the one that seeks you out when you wouldn't look him out. That's him. That's the faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, before you were ever born, he took every sin you'd commit from birth to death, took it upon himself and became that sin to be punished for it in your place. For one simple thing, love. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.